Welcome back, everybody. Hilchos Beis HaBechira, as we continue to learn about Hashem's holy home. We're in the midst of studying Perek Shvi'i, the seventh chapter of these very important laws. And as mentioned yesterday, the first seven halachas of the seventh chapter detail the awe, the reverence, the respect that we are required to exhibit and to feel when we're on the Temple Mount and entering into the Beit HaMikdash. As mentioned yesterday, there's tremendous emphasis, not only here on the notion of Beit HaMikdash, but also the idea of the Temple Mount. As we talked about yesterday, when we set out to define the meaning of respect and reverence, we begin with Leikonis Odom Laharabayis, and in yesterday's class we talked about why we suddenly shifted from Migdash to Har HaBayit. This is all part of the notion of respecting the Har HaBayit and ultimately the entire scrimmage that is deemed to be sacred. So what is the meaning of Yireh? How do you express? How do you behave appropriately, assuming that you've succeeded in bringing forth the sense of awe and the sense of reverence that Hashem expects of you? Says the Rambam, do not enter the Har HaBayis b'makloi. Do not enter the Har HaBayit with your walking stick. Oy b'minol sheberaglov. Oh, with your shoes. Got to get your shoes off. Why do you have to take your shoes off? What's up with the shoes? The Minchas Chinuch, incidentally, tells us that we are permitted to wear shoes if they are not made of leather. It's only leather shoes that are actually proscribed. And the source for this notion of being shoeless, as well as going without a walking stick or staff, is because these are signs of reverence. We know this is a sign of reverence because Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, when he approaches the mountain called Sinai, the future site of Matan Torah, God says to Moshe, Al tikrav haloim, don't come any closer. Sha'al na'olecha mi'araglecha. Remove your shoes from your feet. Ki hamokam asher ata omed olav admat kodeshu. Because the place on which you stand is sacred. So Moses was shoeless at Sinai, and as such, we should be shoeless on this sacred scrimmage. I thought it was interesting to point out that the Medrash Rabbah says about this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu removing his shoes, the Medrash says that you must know and understand that the idea of removing the shoes is because kol mokim shahashchina niglas bay, any place where the Shechina with the divine presence is revealed. In other words, it wasn't a Sinai syndrome, it's a Shechina syndrome. It's the way we should behave when we're approaching an area, a place in which the Shechina is. The commentary of the Eitz Yosef clarifies, and he says, "V'loy mipnei shahamokim mitzad atzmai hayom mekudosh," not because the area is sacred ground. Le'ka'omar admat kodesh, the reason that the scripture states sacred soil is only elo mipnei hashchina asher boi achshav, only because the Shechina is manifest there now. That is to say, after Moshe Rabbeinu experienced the revelation we term burning bush, he would have been allowed to walk on this mountain without shoes. And if you go hiking in the Sinai desert and you happen to be on the mountain wearing your shoes, that's perfectly fine, because that mountain is not called Har HaKodesh. Mount Moriah is called the Holy Mountain. And the truth is that the reason we're shoeless on Mount Moriah is not because it's a holy mountain, but because it's the place where the Shechina is. And we see this also with regard to Yehoshua in Jericho, in Yericho. It wasn't a place that was sacred, but it was a place where the Shechina revealed itself to him. And so we can derive and understand from this that the notion of coming into a Beis HaMikdash requires the removal of one's shoes. The Rebbe very interestingly explains one of his So he talks about the reason, the rhyme and the rationale behind removal of one's shoes. And the Rebbe suggests that the idea of shoes are to create a barrier between the person and between the ground, which proverbially represents the idea of artziyot, chumriyot, the notion of, well, soil, earthiness. A person's head is by nature above the ground. After all, a person's loftier faculties, like his mind and his heart, are carried by the feet. But the feet are planted naturally on the ground. And because the feet are planted on the ground, this is, for example, the reason that in Avos Reb Nosson, it calls a person's heel, the Malach HaMoves Sheba Adam, the deadest part of a person's body. So the feet, they incline towards earthiness, towards crass material reality. And therefore there is a need for shoes, besides the literal and physical need for shoes, which cause a barrier between things that might harm our feet. There's also this mystical idea that we seek to create a barrier between the lowest part of a person and the crust of the earth or soil upon which we walk, so that a person doesn't sink into soil and earthiness. And the Rebbe says that's the case when you're walking in a mundane area. But when the Shekhinah reveals itself in a place, the soil is no longer mundane. Even temporarily, you're now in an exalted, uplifted reality. And that's not something you want to separate yourself from. On the contrary, that's something you very much want to feel a part of. And indeed, the Kohanim had to serve in the Beit HaMikdash, of course, barefoot. The Rambam goes on to say that not only shoeless, but you shouldn't show up ba'apundosai. An apunda, as the Rambam explains it in Pirush HaMishnayos in Masechet Brachot, is an undershirt, a garment that, he says, soaks up the sweat so as not to ruin the finer garments that you're wearing on top of it. You can't wear an undershirt when you go to the Beit HaMikdash? No. You can't wear only an undershirt. In other words, don't show up in your underwear. Don't show up in a t-shirt. You show up at the Beis HaMikdash dressed respectfully. Or, ba'avak shal raglov. You don't come with filthy feet either. And in that way, a person has, so to speak, cleansed their feet, or removed the dust from their feet. And in that case, a person is able to show and demonstrate a sense of reverence, a sense of respect. The Rambam goes on to say, you don't even show up b'moyis hatzrudin lei b'sadinoi with your money wrapped in a proverbial kerchief. It really means your money bag. As the sages point out, the Tosfos points out, it's not as if you're not allowed to have money on you when you come into the Beis HaMikdash. In today's day and age, people have pockets. It's fine. The problem is when you come with a money satchel, don't show up in the Beis HaMikdash with a backpack. That would be kind of inappropriate. B'sadinai aser, says the Tosfos, on the Gemara of Maseches Brachos. But the point is that if the money is in hand or in a quiet pocket, that would not be an issue. The Rambam goes on to say, "Ve'ein tzarach loymar." It goes without saying, if you can't show up with your shoes, if you can't show up with dust on your feet, and primarily, if you can't show up with money in your money bag, it's obvious, says the Rambam, that aser lorik b'chol harabayis, it will be forbidden to expel saliva, spit, anywhere on the Temple Mount. And this would be the normative behavior that's expected. So what happens if a person has some kind of phlegm? So Rambam says, im nizdamenli, if you happen to have phlegm that you need to get rid of, mavliye b'chsusei, then you kind of, well, absorb it into your clothing. Maybe you have a handkerchief or a tissue in modern terminology, but you don't spit in a crass and disrespectful way. The Har HaMoriah explains that this law is derived from the Masechet Brachot, where this is the recommended course of action during the Amidah. If a person has phlegm suddenly, then you kind of absorb it into your clothing or in a tissue you might have in hand, and then you can remove it afterwards. The Rambam goes on to say, V'lo yaseh har habayis derech sheikones mipesach zu v'yetze mipesach shekenegde. Do not take a shortcut across the Temple Mount, k'dei lekatzer haderech. This is known in the Mishnah as a kapandria, and the Kesef Mishnah tells us that this is derived from the statement which is made about a person entering a Beit HaKnesset, a shul. So whilst other details here, like shoelessness, or money bag, or walking stick, are not necessarily relevant in a Beit HaKnesset, in a house of worship, what we would call today a synagogue. The idea of a kapandria, making a shortcut, would in fact be the case. And what should you do then if you need to get from one side of Jerusalem to the other? If you want to go from the Tyropian Way to the Kidron Valley, the answer is Yakifim Bechutz. Walk the long way around. In general, one should not enter the Temple Mount Ela Lidvar Mitzvah, only save for the sake of a mitzvah. And that is to say that even if you're planning to make a shortcut for the sake of a mitzvah, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You only allow to enter the Temple Mount only if you are there in the Temple Mount Lidvar Mitzvah. Even a shortcut for a mitzvah purpose is already not sufficient. And so now we have several practical examples of how we, the Jewish people, are expected to comport and behave ourselves when we walk into the Temple Mount, and how much more so when we're actually in our holy, beautiful, and sacred Beis HaMikdash. May Hashem help that learning about the awe and reverence that we must continue to afford to this sacred site, as we will hear Be'ezrat Hashem in the days ahead, that the Beis HaMikdash be restored to us and the Shechina that continues to reside there, making all of this necessary, should be manifest with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days. Amen. Thank you.